Yeah. Okay. So just before we start, thank you to Julian for giving this morning's chabura. As I wrote out yesterday in the group, this morning's learning is Le'eloi Nishmat Tzvi Meir ben Traga, who is David Burke's late father, and Shmo Abu Daram bar Moshe, who's Donna Dina Jacob's late father, both of whom first yard site what is this week. So we wish long life to both the families, and the learning that we do this morning should be Le'eloi Nishmat.
Oh no. I've just discovered that my beautifully prepared document has been completely destroyed. Never mind. We will cope. That's really shame. I've went to a lot of work to write this. Never mind. Okay, so I want to talk today about the arayot, the forbidden relationships, which appear twice in this week's parasha. They appear once in Achrei Motz and once in Kedoshim, and I wanted to look at the two differences. So, first question is, why do we have these forbidden relationships appearing twice in the parasha? When twice within two chapters of each other, surely once would have been enough. The second thing is, if you look in the Torah, so I've got a tikkun here. This is the, where are we here? This is Achrei Mot. And when you look at the parsha of the Arayot, which is here, it's really clear you've got an introductory section at the beginning and saying, be holy and don't follow the ways of the Canaanites or the Egyptians. Then you've got a list of forbidden relationships. And then you've got a sort of closing paragraph which continues with some more forbidden relationships and some other forbidden practices and a closing exhortation, do not do these, don't get kicked out of the land. When we come into Parashat Kedoshim and we see the same discussion, it's one single long paragraph with no breaks. The order is different as well. If I go back to if I go to my what I wrote, which is, as you see, has just been scrubbed. In Achrei Mot, I've listed tried to list the themes of each of these parashiyot. For some reason, something went wrong in the last 10 minutes, it's all got deleted. So it goes through in the introduction. The order of the prohibitions, it starts with father's wife, and then, so it starts with your mother, and then father's wife, and goes on through various relationships, sister, and so on, and finally comes down to sister-in-law. And after it's listed all of those initial ones, it then has, in that closing paragraph, it has a list of other forbidden relationships, mother and granddaughter, two sisters, nida, adultery, various other prohibitions, don't give your child to Molech, homosexual relations, bestiality, and these concluding verses, keep commandments so the land doesn't vomit you out. In Kedoshim, the order is very different. The beginning, you've got a pro, you've got a zero, zero, zero. Now, at the beginning, you've got a prohibition. You've got a, let me get a chumash, because otherwise I will mess this up. In Kedoshim, chapter 20, you have the, where do you have it? Of and Yidoni, don't give a child to Molech, and also prohibition of Ov and Yidoni, which doesn't get mentioned in Achrei Mot. That's the first up to verse 6. Then in verse 7, and 8, it says, be holy and keep my mitzvot, keep my chukim. After that, it then talks about some of the prohibitions it's mentioned before. Don't curse, sorry, when a person curses their father or their mother, they'll be put to death. Somebody who commits adultery is put to death. Somebody who sleeps with the wife of his father is put to death, and so on and so on. Various put to death. And then it comes on to some of the ones with lesser, so that's 11 to 16, these capital punishments. 17 to 21 is punishments for various other ones, so sister, is a lesser punishment, and somebody sleeps with a nida is a lesser punishment, and so on. And then finally comes at the end of the parasha, verse 24, 25 is talking about you're coming to inherit the land. You shall separate between the pure animal and the impure animal, between the and you shall be holy to me, for I'm holy, which brings back to the beginning of Parsha Kedoshim, is about holy. And I've separated you from all the peoples to be for me. And then it finishes one final verse about the punishment for somebody who seeks the advice of an Ov or Yidoni, some sort of spirit guide or something of that nature. Not sure exactly what that means. So you've got the repetition of the forbidden relationships. You've got the way they're laid out in the Torah, which is different in both cases in terms of those breaks. I don't have a good explanation for why that might be the case. They have a few simple ideas, but I don't have a good explanation. And you've got the order that in Achrei Mot, as you can not see here, in Achrei Mot it goes from, the order is from from mother, father's wife, all the way through the incestuous relationships, and only at the end it starts talking about less incestuous relationships, two sisters, mother and daughter, adultery and nida, whereas in Kedoshim it starts with adultery. So Rashi has an initial suggestion of the difference between at the very beginning of Parshat at the very beginning of Parshat Kedoshim, Rashi says the purpose of these arayot, so at the very beginning of the arayot, beginning of chapter 20, he says the reason for these arayot is being repeated is now to tell you the punishments. But I would think that I could learn the punishments without having a whole separate parsha about it. I could have simply said in Achrei Mot that if you do this, this is forbidden. If you do it, this is the punishment. This is forbidden. If you do this, this is the punishment. So there's probably something deeper that going on. If we go back to the start of this whole unit, which is back in Parshat Shemini, after the death of Nadav and Avihu, we've got this interesting interlocution in the parsha there. Before Aaron does his mourning, there's this little paragraph. Hashem says to Aaron, "Yain v'shecha al tesht, ata vincha itach, v'vachem el ohel moed, v'lo tamutu, chukat olam l'dor teichem." Hashem says to Aaron, "Don't drink wine, you or your children, when you come to the ohel moed. Don't die, that's an eternal chok. Lahavdil ben hakodesh ben achol uven hatameh uven hatohor, to distinguish between the kodesh, we might call the sacred, the sanctified, v'achol, and the profane, uven hatameh, and between the impure, uven hatahor, and between the pure. Olorot et b'nei Yisrael et kol chokim asher dibar Hashem aleihem biyad Moshe, and to teach B'nai Yisrael all of the chukim, all of these statutes which Hashem has spoken to you through Moshe. But it introduces the whole section as talking about distinguishing between Kodesh and Chol, difficult words to translate, uven hatameh uven hatahor, between tameh and tahor, between, again, difficult words, impure and pure. And Rav Avnon Bazak points out that this book is Sefer Yitra, at least the central part of Sefer Yitra, is broken into two halves. From almost immediately after these verses that we've just seen highlighted in yellow, in Parshat Shemini, right the way through to the end of Achrei Mot, is talking about the distinction primarily between Tamei, impurity or unclean, and Tahor, purity or cleanliness. So we have the different types of animals we can eat or not eat in chapter 11 in Shmini. Then in Tazria, we have laws of woman giving birth and how she becomes Tamei and how to become pure again. Leprosy or Tzaraat and its various forms of purification, that's chapters 13 and 14. That's most of Tazria and Metzora. The end of Metzora is laws of the Zav and Zavah, related matters, menstruation, blood, how you become Tamei, and then how you become Tahor again. The beginning of Achreimot, the whole Yom Kippur Avodah, is all about, the focus is there on sanctifying and purifying the Mishkan from the Tum'ot B'nai Israel, from the impurities of B'nai Israel. And then there's this slightly difficult chapter, which we're not going to talk about now, the prohibition of blood, which seems to be connected to the purification of the Mikdash. And then this last, the last thing, which is the Arayot, the first set of Arayot at the end of Achreimot, refers to the impurity of the land arising from forbidden sexual unions. The end of that chapter talks about, if you do these takihar etzetchem, the land will vomit you out because you've defiled it, you've made it tamei. The word tamei is repeated again and again and again there. In the juncture between Achreimot and Kedoshim, Kedoshim begins with a very different theme. It says, Kedoshim to you should be Kadosh. It's moving away, although it doesn't completely exclude it, but it moves away from the language of Tahor and Tamei, purity and impurity, and it moves to the language of Kadosh and Chol, Kodesh and Chol, holy and unholy, profane. Profane, it's not necessarily profanity as something disgusting, but it's something which doesn't have Kedusha. And there are various laws discussed there, how to achieve Kedusha. That's chapter 19, the beautiful laws there. And then chapter 20 is avoiding forbidden sexual practice and other things which, in order to achieve Kedusha. The focus in chapter 20, even though it talks about the punishments, the focus is very clearly on achieving Kedusha and avoiding Chilul. There's very little reference to Tumah and Tahara in our chapter 20. The theme of Kedusha continues into Parashat Emor next week. First chapter of Emor is about the sanctity of the Kedusha of the Kohanim. The second part of Emor is about making sure that any Mikdash-related items, the sacrifices, the Kalim, the Mikdash itself, don't become defiled because of Tumah. Even though this is a reference to Tumah, it's the influence of Tumah is on the Kedusha of these items. And the last part of Emor is the sanctity of time, the Kedusha of time. So we've moved from half the book is about Tumah and Tahara, and the second half of the book is about Kedusha and Chol. And just so to give one sense, we use this word Kedusha quite a lot, sanctity, but what does it mean? So here's one possible thinking about what it means. The Chazal say, in the Gemara at the beginning of Kedushin, which is all about Kedusha, what does it mean when you say Hari At Mukudeshet Li to a man betrothing a woman, says Hari At Mukudeshet Li, we do it now under the Chuppah. And the Gemara asks, My Lishna de Rabbanan, why what's this language of the Rabbanan of Kedushin? Why do the rabbis call betrothal Kedushin? This translation is literally consecration. The asala akule alma kehekdesh, because what Kiddushin does is it forbids this woman to anyone else like hekdesh, like consecrated property. So Kiddushin is all about forbidding this woman to say anybody else. Kiddushin is about making something special, separated for a specific purpose. And this might help then give us an understanding in the last minute or so of why the distinction between these two different sections. In Achreimot, we're in the theme of Tumah and Tahara, of purity and impurity. Our natural state is to be Tahor, and if you do something, you have to do something active or something has to happen to break the Tahara and to become impure. By performing incest by having a relationship with someone so close to you, familiar, as in family-wise, you're breaking this natural tara. Whereas adultery and other forms, they're just sort of not quite as, they're legally constructed. They've not quite breaking down that same sort of natural order of things. Whereas in Kedoshim, Kedusha, the woman who's become married has been said she is for this man only. And the worst thing you can do to destroy the sanctity of society is to break that sanctity of the marriage bond. And so the first, after cursing a parent, the first of the sexual encounters which is discussed is adultery, because that breaks down the fabric of society. Our society is naturally tahor, and we have to regain the tahara if something breaks, but our society is naturally maybe chol, and we have to work actively, as the parsha begins in Kedoshim, Kedoshim to you, you have to actively work to make society kadosh. And so the focus there is on things that you have to actively do to make society kadosh, and to avoid doing things which break the kedusha of our community. With that, I wish you, and I have some further readings for some suggestions for going much deeper than I was able to in 15 minutes. I will send this to, once I've fixed up the first bit, I will send it to Rabbi Koenigsberg, and it can be emailed out. So I wish everyone Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shalom, everyone.
Shabbat Shalom, and thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Julian.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbos, thank you very much.
Good Shabbos, pleasure.